This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. We're here in St. Louis, Missouri at PHP Tech 2016, and my special guest is Kirsten Hunter. Say hi to everybody, Kirsten.
Hello, everybody.
Now, you and I met probably 4 or 5 years ago. You were working at LinkedIn.
I was, in fact.
Yes, and when LinkedIn shuttered their API, they also shuttered their whole DE program, so you're now working with?
I'm working at Akamai. And I'm an API evangelist. I have the best job in the world. I get to go around to conferences and help people, help other companies do a better job with their APIs, help developers understand and use APIs. And also I travel to our customers and teach them how to use our APIs.
Yes, but with every cloud or every wonderful cloud comes a drop of rain. You have to work with Davey Shafiq.
I do have to work with Davey. In fact, it is my fault that I have to work with Davey. I got him hired. So, but it works out pretty well. He's been contributing a lot to our sample code, and he's been working on a WordPress plugin, and he'll be working on a Drupal plugin soon, which will make it possible for people to automatically clear the cache whenever they make a change in WordPress or in Drupal, which I think will be great for a lot of our customers.
I agree, and I'm just kidding. Davey knows that. Davey and I are good friends. Let's talk a little bit about you. In addition to everything else, you are a polyglot. You work with several different technologies. And more developers, whether they're PHP developers or JavaScript developers or Python developers, we're all using several different languages. Talk to us a little bit about your experience with being a polyglot.
Well, what I've really discovered is that because the communities are so fragmented and siloed, people have this impression that the various, especially the interpreted languages, are very different. But they're not very different. They're actually quite similar. But I have had some of our customers come to us and say, I need you to write a Perl sample of this. Well, I can write a Perl sample. I spent 15 years with Perl. But I asked the person to look at the Python example and just write it in Perl. It was only 10 lines of code. And this person was not actually willing to look at the Python. They said, well, I can't run Python. I can only run Perl. And this is indicative. I mean, this is a perfectly intelligent, creative, successful developer, but they were unwilling to take a look at some code in a different language because we have this culture that says the languages are separate. And so what I'm trying to do is encourage people to think of us as one community and collaborate so that we can solve bigger problems as a whole than we can as the individual language communities.
That's fascinating because I identify as a PHP developer, but I have been doing JavaScript since we used to call it DHTML. I cut my teeth with SQL. One of the first things I ever did was writing SQL, and if still have a great fondness for handcrafted SQL. So, and you know, if you're doing anything at all on Linux, then you have to write Bash at some point. So,
exactly.
You know, while I identify as a PHP developer, I use many different tools in many different languages, and so I'm surprised when I run into people that's I only do it this way, and if it can't be done this way, it's not worth doing.
Part of the problem is the culture clash. Mm-hmm. As you know, as a PHP developer, many people of other languages like to make fun of PHP as
that's
not
okay.
a
we
real
make fun
language.
Of other people too,
right,
so.
But that's the thing, is that it would be better if each of us made fun of our own languages, and it wouldn't be so demotivating. I've seen people who had done some amazing things with PHP who were in a conversation with people who were bagging on PHP, and they didn't participate in the conversation, and they'd solved a really difficult problem. So we want to encourage people to talk across those lines friends and share the way that they solve problems. Because a lot of times the way they solve the problem doesn't have to do with the language. It has to do with the logic that they've put together. And mm-hmm. that can be recreated in whatever language you use.
And that is an excellent point. Hey, before we move on, because we're going to talk a little bit about APIs, I want to talk to you about Nomad PHP. Nomad PHP is a virtual PHP user group. If you don't have a local PHP user group, we would love for you to join Nomad PHP. If you do have a local user group, we want you to be a part of your local user group. But a lot of people don't have one, and that's why we created Nomad PHP. You can get all the information out at nomadphp.com. We have two meetings every month. We have speakers that you see at conferences presenting the talks that you see at conferences. So if you can't get to a local user group or you can't get to the conferences, we're bringing that experience to you. Join us for our next meeting and join Nomad PHP. Okay. Your other talk is on APIs.
That's right. It's on irresistible APIs.
A few years ago, the handwriting became obvious that everything, front end was moving away from just HTML. And that's, you know, PHP had, was several PHP developers were struggling with, well what am I going to do? How am I going to build websites? And I'm like, this is actually a boon for PHP because PHP is wonderful for building APIs and everything else has to talk to an API.
Especially with some of the new frameworks that are available. CodeIgniter Cake is fantastic at creating APIs for you right off the bat. So a lot of the frameworks that are available in PHP now make it very simple to create those APIs that you can then run your front end on with JavaScript, make some AJAX calls to those APIs, and give yourself a little bit of separation and safety between the back end and the front end. Yep. If you have an established contract, then the front end knows that the back end's not going to change. And if the back end changes technologies or anything else, the front end doesn't need to know about that.
Okay. You said something interesting, an established contract. Define that term for us.
Well, when you have an API, it used to be with SOAP and WSDL, we had a contract. Now, we went through a period that I call the wild, wild rest, where we had REST APIs that didn't have schema models. They didn't actually have an established contract. People just sort of added endpoints willy-nilly. And it ended up being very difficult for people to use. Mm-hmm. So now we're starting to move into schema modeling. And once you have that established contract with the API, then you can have as many front-end users of that API as you want. And they can be assured that the API is going to stay the same, no matter what happens on the back end.
Very interesting. Yeah, it's you're right. We went through a big time of REST there, and since everybody has their own definition of REST, no two REST look alike. You know?
So. Which is really unfortunate because one of the things we really want is for developers who are consuming those APIs to be able to do it very quickly. So the more consistency we have, the better we follow those best practices, the more likely people are to go ahead and consume the APIs and create those applications.
Let's step into a holy war here. How do you feel about versioning APIs, or what's the proper method for versioning an API?
This is a really good question. I used to like putting it in the header, but putting things in the header is difficult for users, but it also makes it difficult to triage problems. So I have come around to the notion that putting it in the URL makes a lot of sense. I do like the idea of having a latest that people ride until they have created production code, and then they can freeze it at a particular version. I want people to get the newest part of the APIs, and when something's on Stack Overflow, if that's version 1 and we're now at version 5, we have a problem where people aren't using the latest and greatest code. So I do like the idea of having a way to represent the now version, but I also want it to be possible for people to say, I'm using this version in production and that's what I want to use.
Yes, and my favorite API that I use on a semi-regular basis is MailChimp, and that's the way they version is within the URL, and it is wonderful because I've got code that I wrote 4 or 5 years ago on version 2. They're now on version 3, it still runs. They haven't killed the API version yet. So my code still runs. And when it becomes necessary, I'll upgrade it. But it's one of those, everything's still working, I'm just going to leave it.
You know? Yeah, you don't want to write more code. On the other hand, there are situations where an API provider does want to sunset an older version of the API. So you have to look at the customers that are using the older version of the API. A lot of times you have to give a carrot. You have to do something super fantastic in the new API that everybody wants to pull them forward to that new version of the API. But my friend Ken Lane actually had a customer, and they had only one customer using the first version of the API. And he said, well, why don't we move them? And they said, well, take a look at that customer's contract. That customer was responsible for $500,000 of money a month.
Wow.
And so they were welcome to go ahead and use whatever API they wanted to use.
Yeah, at that point, you can afford to keep that old one around.
Exactly.
For a while. So, well, you're right, it does have to be a carrot and stick thing. And to MailChimp's credit, the carrot that they have offered with their version 3 API is it is much simpler to operate with. Matter of fact, there's no such thing as a PHP wrapper for the new one. You can just, if you understand some basic messaging, you're gonna pick it up very easily.
That sounds perfect to me. I always say that if you don't worry about usability first, you're never gonna have to worry about performance. Mm-hmm. And I also say that if you need an SDK for your REST API, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, and they have gone totally away from that. And I have used it for a couple of projects now, and it is so much simpler. I use Guzzle to consume it. It returns me back a JSON that goes into a native PHP object, and boom.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I talk about in my Irresistible APIs talk, which I do have a book called Irresistible APIs as well.
It's
coming out at the end of the summer, and it's actually available on Manning Early Access Program. So you can go to irresistibleapis.com. And one of the things I really talk about and enforce in this is you need to have use cases. You need to know what it is that you want to be easy for your customers to do, and you need to make those things easy.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hey, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule here at the conference to be with us. Before I let you go, same two questions to ask everybody. What's your local user group? What's the URL?
I don't actually have a local user group. It's a Santa Cruz Tech Beat.
Okay.
And it's a platform agnostic, and it's SantaCruzTechBeat.com.
Okay.
And they have meetups, which are all of the different technologies.
Well, that's very cool. Yeah, I'm part of the Palm Beach technology group, and we do similar things. So that's very cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here on Voices of the Elephant. You're a speaker here at Tech, which means you've put time into crafting a presentation and journeying out here to be with us and present and make us all better developers. So thank you for everything that you're doing to help us all grow.
Of course. This is a great conference. I always like PHP Tech.
And thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the next one. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.